Welcome to the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about Tony. And specifically, you know what I hate, Tony, is when someone comes up to me and they say, I don't have any time to start a business. I'm too busy. And so I think you're the perfect example to have to counter that excuse because you have 7 kids. You run a number of things every single day. I have no idea how you do it all. So I've actually been curious about this too. So I don't even know where we should start with this, but number one, like how much time do you spend on the businesses that you work on versus just kid stuff? Because I know my wife, who in my household handles all the kids stuff, she is constantly running around. She's constantly keeping track of, you know, kids' assignments and everything. It's actually a lot of work. It's like businesses in themselves, each one of those children.
So you're saying that I have 7 children businesses.
And you do.
Yeah.
You do. Well, maybe not anymore. At one point you did because two of your kids are on their own, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny is the very first time I came on the My Wife Quit Her Job podcast, this is what we talked about. Do you remember this?
Is this what we talked about? I don't even remember.
It was before I was in it was before I did e-commerce, any of that. It was we had met each other. Well, we had met through a mutual friend. We had hung out for a little bit at a conference, and I think you were horrified and intrigued by me. And you said, I have to have you on the podcast for this exact same reason. You said people complain to me that they don't have time to start a business, and then I meet you and you've got all these things going on, and so no one else has an excuse.
I feel like you had less going on back then. This was 2014, I want to say, when I had you on, right? The first time?
Yeah.
2015.
Yeah, 2014. Maybe. No, 14. It was 2014.
14. Okay.
Yeah.
You had less going on back then too, right? Like less businesses for sure.
No, actually I didn't, because at that point I had a business with Jim Wang.
Right.
We were doing the influencer marketing and I was still doing some consulting. So I had that, and at that point, I think I still had the blog editor and I had like 20 plus writers on the website. So my website was like thoroughly outsourced at that point. But my kids were little, like they were all still at home when I met you.
Okay. All of them, including?
I think so. I think even Arden was at home.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, she was in college, so I guess, you know, home and home.
For some reason, I feel like you got a lot more going on now, but okay. You were a consultant. Were you full-time at Savings?
I mean, I never was technically full time. So, but yeah, I think I've always had about the same amount going on, just differently, right?
Okay. You know, arguably, now that I have teenagers, I feel like teenagers can be worse in terms of time.
So much more work. So much more work. Yeah. So one of the advantages that I had when my kids were little, because I started my own business in 2006. So I had 6 kids, and the youngest one was like 3 months old, and the oldest one would have been 12, right? So 12 and under, 6 kids. What was nice about that is like when your kids are 12 and under, or when you have kids that are younger, like you control everything about their lives, right? You control what activities they're in, what time they go to bed, what time they have to get up in the morning. So as far as like getting stuff done when my kids were younger, in a way it was easier because, you know, I knew that they all went to bed at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, or at least they were in their rooms, right? So I could work after that. I knew that they didn't wake up till a certain amount of time, a certain time in the morning, so I could work before they got up. I knew we had like nap time or quiet time. We had all these things, right, that were built into the schedule. Whereas once they get to be teenagers, it's like so-and-so's got a friend over and this person's going to practice and this person has a job, right? But they need a ride to the job or their car's broken up. Like there's all these things that happen, and it's like you don't necessarily control their activities anymore. I mean, you still have say in what they do, right? But if your kid's really into something, like for many years, my girls all did cheerleading, right? And so we committed to that. So that meant we were at the gym every night of the week. We were at competitions also. I mean, like, you know, every spring, every single weekend I was out of town, right? So all this time when they were little, when they just played soccer, right? And it was like, we spent Saturdays at the soccer field and that was it. Changed to like our entire lives were stuck at the cheerleading gym, which was great when we did it. It's not knocking anything that kids do, but it gets a lot harder when your kids get older. Plus when you have adult kids, like they don't stop needing you or like wanting to hang out with you, but then they like take up way more time, right? Because it's like, well, they want to hang out by like like I just took my son to a Bucks game, right, for his birthday.
Right, yeah, so, cool. Like, yeah.
That was like a 15-hour day, right? Like, it wasn't like, hey, let's go to the park for an hour and a half, wear you out and put you down for a nap so I can work for 4 hours, right? So it's totally different.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because there's so much driving.
Yes.
And driving in itself just takes hours, like every single day.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Walk me through one of your days.
Okay. I will say this about driving. Side note, all these parents and their oldest kid is getting ready to drive and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to let my kid go anywhere. Lies. Absolute lies. Like, it is such freedom when your kid, one of my kids just got their driver's license and my neighbor gave them a car basically. And I'm like, this is literally the best thing that's like, this is the best thing I've ever had happen in my entire life. Cause she takes herself to school. She gets herself home from school. Like, not my problem anymore. So yeah.
Oh, so she's already driving like by herself?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, to school every day. So that like just – so my mornings just became – because my morning used to be taking her to school.
Right.
So that was like 45 minutes of just that plus like all the context of that, right? So it's like getting ready – like everything. So now I'm like my mornings are totally free, which is – it's a game changer, right? So anyway, walk you through a day. So now
okay,
my
well,
mornings
– before she was driving, like I want to hear like when everything was hectic. Because well, you had kids going to different schools, right?
Yes. One time I had four kids in four schools, so that was bloody too.
Okay, let's go back to that period.
it's all a blur now. So let's talk about how it fits in with work, right?
Okay, sure.
Because I think people are saying, like, I don't have time. I think everybody has time to do things. And one of the things that I realized about myself when I look back in some of those, like, more hectic times, there were things that I did not do. Right. And we've talked about this before. Like when you're trying to build a business or you're trying to get things going, certain parts of your life fall off. And that's OK, as long as you can like bring it back to balance. So like I did not have a TV or watch TV for probably 15 years. Right. So like I watch no movies. I watch no television. So the time that most people would spend like you were saying that you got into playing video games during COVID.
Yes.
Which is I don't think that's I'm not saying that in a bad way, but like if you think about the time that you spend playing video games, if you were in this phase right now of growing your business, like how much time would that be that you could dedicate to building something versus playing? So like I honestly think that the fact that I didn't have and I didn't get rid of a TV because I wanted to start a business. I got rid of the TV because I was like, there's just junk on TV. I didn't want my kids watching it. And so I did it more just because I didn't want my kids to sit in front of the TV all the time. But it benefited me because then, like, I wasn't, like, up all night. I do this now. I'm so guilty of it. Like, I'm like, I'm just going to see what's on. And the next thing you know, I'm, like, watching Monday Night Football till 11:30. Right? I don't even care about the two teams, but I'm, like, sucked in. And then it's harder for me to get up the next day, and I'm not as productive because I'm tired.
I was thinking you were laid up up late, like, watching TikToks or something. But
yes, I have done that as well, but I consider that work.
Right. Technically, that's research. Like, right?
Technically, that's research. But I think so. That was a big thing is that I gave up some things early on that I think allowed me to have more margin in my schedule to fit the business in. The other thing that I did when my kids were little is they all played soccer, which I know this doesn't work for everybody, but soccer is a sport that like male, female, I feel like it's equal. It's not like, well, you know, I put all my kids in wrestling, right? Or something where it's like not really a sport for a certain gender yet. I mean, it's getting there, right? Mm-hmm. But so for me, like if they all played soccer, then we all went to the same field, same practices. You know what I mean?
But they weren't all on the same team though.
No, but like all the practices were held at the same place.
Oh, that's like, not the case with my kids. They were always in two different places.
Well, right. And for a while we had that and I was like, this isn't sustainable. And part of it is because there's a lot of them too. But it really did benefit me because like sometimes if we were at the soccer field, I had every kid at the soccer field. I would bring my laptop and work at the soccer field because it's like they were too little to leave for practice. But it wasn't like what do I need to watch them run around the field for? Like, it's not a game.
Right.
So
practice.
That was another.
Tony Iverson.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
practice. So that was another thing that I did that kind of streamlined our activities in our house so that I had more time to like carve out for the business. I think the other huge thing, and I think this is where people probably get tripped up a lot, is that like you have to – a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to dabble in something, right? Like, oh, I'm going to give this a try. And so, you know, they work on it 2 days a week or when they have time or when they have a free day. And it just doesn't work. I committed, like, when I was getting started, like, I woke up early every single day. I think probably, and I don't like to get up super, I don't mind getting up early. I'm a morning person, but, like, I don't want to be up at 5:30, you know, 5 o'clock. And I got up at 5 o'clock every day for years.
Really? I had no idea. Okay.
Yeah. Because I knew that was, like, because my kids are all sleep, like, they all sleep late. And for some people, it might be that your kids wake up early, so your time, you find your time differently. Or you might have a job where you know, everyone has this moment they can carve out, right? And I knew for me it was early because no one was awake in my house, so I wouldn't get interrupted. And there's nothing going on at 5 a.m. So it's not like my phone is blowing up, my emails aren't coming in. So it was really, like, for me, the best uninterrupted work time. And I promise, like, anybody this, and you would agree with me because you do this same technique when you're, like, coding. If you just say, like, I'm shutting off email, I'm shutting off social media, I'm not getting on, you know, I'm not going to check my phone for, like, 2 to 3 hours, you can have an 8-hour workday in 2 to 3 hours.
I mean, I can't even work 8 hours. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't focus. Well, I can if I'm super into it, but then I forget to eat.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'm only good for maybe 4 to 6 hours a day, period.
I hope your former employer is listening to this.
I think it's true for anybody, to be honest with you.
I 100% agree with you. So I'll talk about my day now. But when my kids were little, I could get more done from, like, 5 to 8 a.m. than I could if I would have tried to work from 9 to 2 with my kids awake and running around and... Like, I got more done in those 3 hours than I could have in 6 because I had literally zero interruptions.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember when I had little kids, they were always coming in, like, every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
With something.
Yeah. And my kids, I think because they kind of grew up with me working, like the younger ones, it became a... And I never went to a job, right? Like, I was always in the house working. And I didn't always have an office, but the minute I got an office, that made things better too. And I used a little trick when they were little. And this, actually, I recommend this to everybody. I had a baseball cap. And if I put the baseball cap on, it meant, like, you don't come knocking on my office had glass doors. And actually, a couple of my offices have had glass doors. Unless your arm is, like, hanging off or you are missing a toe or, you know... You know, someone has fallen off the refrigerator, you don't come in the office if I have the baseball hat on. And that meant that I was needing, like, focused work time. Now, if I'm just, like, checking emails or, like, posting on social media, that kind of stuff, I wouldn't put the hat on because it's like they could kind of come interrupt me and tell me a story or talk about their day. Now, in my house, more often than not, someone might have been missing a toe. Like, you know, because I have boys and they were just prone to all sorts of disasters when they were children. But for the most part, if I had the hat on, I could sometimes hear them outside my door, you know, mom's got that, don't, you know, like they would be yelling at each other because they knew, like, and it was an easy way because here's a lot of times, I think your kids, for the most part, like if they understand, like, hey, this is what's paying the bills, they are respectful of your time if you kind of instill that in them. And so, but they also are kids and they are excited about things and they want to show you things. So it's like if you make sure there's enough opportunity for both, they'll learn. They don't know it right away, obviously, but they will learn how to be respectful of your time. And there were very few times when they were little, if I had the hat on, they would come in for something that wasn't like a true emergency.
Right. I guess that's the same way with me. I just close my door to my office and they know not to come in because oftentimes I'm recording also.
Yeah. I would keep
my door
closed.
But that took a long time.
I would keep my door closed normally just because there was a lot of them and they were loud. And I just needed, like, I needed the quiet. But it didn't mean that they couldn't come in. It just meant that I didn't want to hear everything, like, you know, at normal volume level. So.
Okay, so you woke up early. So you got, like, a good 2 to 3 hours before anyone woke up.
Yeah.
But it's 2 to 3 hours. I mean, I guess it's enough to start a business. But I remember spending a lot more time than that on my stuff.
So that was like my chunk that was the other thing is I prioritized that work in that 2 to 3 hour span that was like stuff that I needed like really concentrated focus on. And throughout the years, that time has changed for me. Like when like right now it's really from like 9 to 12 is when I try to get that stuff done because mm-hmm. now they're all gone. Like, none of them are, well, there are still ones home at my house, but they're adults, so they don't come in my office very often. So it's a different, they still do. Let's not lie. You've seen them come in when we record. But I always try to keep a chunk of time for like for 5 days a week, right? That I can work uninterrupted on the business for 2 to 3 hours. And so for some people, that might be like a Saturday or a Sunday. And there were periods in my life where Saturday and Sunday worked out better. Like I would work from Saturday night from 5 to 8. It just depended on like the phase that we were in as a family, the phase that my kids were in. Like now I pretty much can work. I work Sunday, like you do too. You work Sunday mornings.
That's correct. I work
for me, Sunday morning is like the quietest time in my house because nobody's awake except for me. And so I can sleep in right until 7 and still get up. And I actually just work in my bed, which is, I wouldn't recommend for people necessarily, but I'm pretty disciplined about it. But I love like being in bed with my laptop, just doing stuff. My room is dark. It's quiet. It's cold. And for me, like that's a really productive time. And it doesn't feel like, I feel like on, like, I don't like to work a lot on the weekends. So I felt like if I came down on Sunday mornings at like 7 a.m. and sat at my office computer, I'd be resentful. But like in my bed, I'm like, oh, this is like fun, you know, even though I'm like really, you know, it's like, it's totally like, but I think that's the key, right? You have to play like mental games with yourself sometimes to like go like, okay, I'm working on Sunday morning, but it's not like a bad thing. It's just, this is when I have a bucket of time and I'm going to take advantage of it.
The reason why I like Sunday mornings, because if I wasn't doing my writing during that time, I'd just be sitting in bed doing nothing.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. A couple, actually, after FinCon, I was just, well, I mean, everyone got sick, right?
Yes.
Except for us, I think.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was physically exhausted from the event, right? Just like being out super late every night and just like you talk more than you normally talk, especially for us that we don't talk a lot during the day. And then you're talking like 16 hours a day. I was just exhausted. And the weekend after FinCon, that Saturday, I stayed in bed. Like I like waited the whole week. I like worked my normal work week. And then that Saturday, I was like, I am not getting out of bed on Saturday. And I mean, I had my computer. I read like 2 books. I worked, but I was like, I'm just not leaving the bed. So yeah, I needed like a little recharge. But I think you've got to, I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned is you have to find like pockets of uninterrupted time. It can be whenever. I don't think there's like a, I know people are like, you have to wake up super early or you have to just, I don't think that's the case. Like people, not everybody's a morning person. Like some people will just not be productive in the morning because that's not their like body's rhythm basically. So, but I think you have to find that time. If you can't do that, I don't think you're going to be able to build a business.
I know a couple of our friends, I think Pat's like this. I know Jeff is. They just work late. Mm-hmm. Like everyone goes to bed and then they just stay up and get their stuff done till like 1 or 2 in the morning.
So my old blog editor was a night person. And I knew this when I hired her. And she said, listen, I don't function before 11 a.m. She's like, I'm not at my best. She's like, do you care if I work for you from like 5 to midnight? And I was like, I don't care when you work for me, as long as like you're available for questions and stuff. And for years, she worked from like 5 to midnight, 7 to 2. She got everything done. She did an amazing job, but that was her like power time, right? And for me, it's like, you know me, after like 7:30, I'm like, I don't even know my own name. So I think, but
that's what I usually
have, like,
ask you, like the stuff that I,
yeah, that's when you ask me like big questions, yeah. Like, hey, what do you think about changing the entire direction of everything we've ever done? Sure. Yeah, whatever. I don't care. Leave me alone. 7:30. So I think that's it. Now, the other key that I think was helpful for me was then all that time in the day, like then everyone has all this other time that they waste, right, in the day. So like, what can you do in those like 5 to 10 to 20 minute chunks of time that you might have? That otherwise you would be on TikTok, right? Or you would be doing nothing. I don't even know. I don't know what people do. But so for me, I use that time to like, you know, back in the day, like I would use that time to pin on Pinterest, right? Before Tailwind came out and there were like things that made life easier. I would go on Twitter, right? I'd respond to tweets. I'd check email. And so instead of like wasting time on other activities, even like waiting in pickup line for kids, right? For something like, I would just be like, okay, what can I knock off in 5 to 10 minutes? Obviously you can't write a blog post or record a podcast. Although Shailene records podcasts in her car.
She does. Yes. Yes. And they turn out really well. Those are my favorite episodes actually.
I know. And I'm like, what mic are you using? Cause you sound good. But I think, and people that I know, like Shailene's a good example. She's got a ton of stuff going on, but she's still pretty productive. People take advantage of those moments to get things done, as opposed to thinking like, oh, I only have 10 minutes. I can't get anything done.
I guess that's a good point. For a while I hated doing things on my phone, mm-hmm. but now I've just come to know that I've gotten used to it. So I can get a lot of stuff done now also while I'm in line or whatnot.
Yeah, I hate working from my phone because I'm old. But yeah,
exactly.
That's
the problem. I have to squint. Yeah,
I want my big computer screen. I even don't like my... I'm like, how could I bring my giant computer up to my bed? I don't want to work on my little laptop. But email, like you can go through and delete crap. I know you don't do this with email, but like you can respond to things. You can do that. Easily.
Wait, you know I don't respond to emails? Is that what you're going to say?
Yes, I know you don't. Yeah, you're not checking emails on your phone. I know that. But you check Gorgeous, which is the customer service platform that we use. So
that's correct.
You do check that on your phone. So, checking email, posting to social media. Here's another thing you can do. I mean, a lot of people talk about if you want to work on social media, you need to like be responding to comments, following people, checking hashtags, things like that. Something you can actually, you can't really even do it from your computer, right? You have to do it from your phone. So, instead of just being purposeful with those chunks of time that you have, I think is a game changer. And then when you sit down for your like 2 to 3 hour chunk of like productive time, you don't have all these little things hanging that need to be done because you've kind of knocked them out in these other moments.
Actually, that's something that I do. So for the emails, like usually if I'm brain dead, that's what I'll do. Like my most productive time is actually 7:30 till like noon, and I don't do any of that stuff during that time.
No, because it's a productivity killer.
Yes, it is. Plus sometimes it pisses me off, like
what if you get like a mean email?
Yeah, it happens at least once or twice a week where I get a mean email, either for the e-commerce store or my wife. Actually, it happens more often with my wife quit because people are like, you're just a scammer, like, because, YouTube, there's social media, all this stuff. Like, it's just overwhelming.
Ruins your whole day.
Well, it only ruins my day if there's an element of truth to it.
Well, yes, obviously, yeah. But there's no truth to any of that.
Sometimes there is. And I'm like, oh, that one hurt.
You're like, but I did wear that shirt 3 videos in a row. You're right. Tony, stop commenting anonymously on my videos. But I think that is... So I think that's the biggest thing. And I think if more people... here's the thing. Some people are just like, they have their own little way and it works and whatever. Don't listen to this podcast. Who cares? Right. But if you feel like you don't get a lot done or you don't have time to do stuff, then you probably are not doing things the right way or the best way. Right. So like the context switching thing is totally real. One of the things that actually, it was funny. I was really good at it. And then I totally fell off the bandwagon. And then you kind of got me back on the bandwagon of like batching stuff that I do. So I write emails for an e-commerce company, and I used to just kind of do them piecemeal, right? Like I was like, oh, okay, I'll work. Well, in the past like 6 months, actually it started when right before Seller Summit, when I was like, okay, my time got like right the 6 weeks before Seller Summit, I don't have any time, right? Because most of my time is taken up with the event. And so all the other stuff that I do still has to get done, but has to get done differently. So I don't have a lot of margin. And so I started batching the emails, and it's amazing. Like once you start, like especially with writing, like once you start writing, it's easier to write more, right? Because you're kind of in the groove, you're in the flow. Same thing, I'm assuming, with YouTube recording. Same thing with podcast. Like I know sometimes you have to work on the energy level, right? It's hard to record 6 videos in a row and keep your energy up,
right?
But it's doable. But like if you're working on a specific thing, then it's much easier to do a lot of it at once than to try to do a little bit every day.
See, I can't. So when I talk about batching, what I like to do is I like to be like on my podcast, for example, I'm 3 months ahead. Like if I didn't record a podcast for 3 months, I'd still be good. I like that because it allows me to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Same with YouTube. I don't quite have that backlog, maybe 4 videos in my backlog. But what I do is like every now and then I'll just record two videos in a week instead of one. And it just kind of builds up over time. So I don't sit there and just film six videos. I don't know if I could do that actually.
I don't think that. I don't think the video side necessarily works. I could do that, but it doesn't work for everybody. But what I do think that the concept of that is like when you start working on something, don't just do one off. Like try to. It's almost like baking, right? Like when my kids were little, it's like I'd always make double the dinner and freeze one of them because right. then I had an extra dinner. So at the end of like 2 weeks, I had seven extra dinners that then I didn't have to cook or when I was out of town or whatever. There was still food. So the same thing goes for work is that like if you can batch stuff, you're going to be, you know, you're yeah. going to have more margin. And then you're right. You don't wake up at night worried about things. And there's you can't batch everything. Right. So the things that you can like you can't batch customer service like, you know, you're going to have to check that. So like that goes into the different bucket. But then the things that you can batch, even to the extent of like creating processes that make it easier. So you have a whole system for recording YouTube videos, right?
Yes.
Like you have, and you have a kind of a template for editing and all that stuff. So the more of that that you have in place, the easier things become because it's just like, okay, plug and play. You know, I have a total system for writing emails for my client. And so when I sit down, I can just knock out a ton of stuff because I'm not thinking about all the little tiny things that go into it because those are already pre-done.
Right, what's your system? Like, I'm curious.
So, like, I have tons of templates. I have tons of templates. Like, so I use templates like crazy. I have a document with, like, the scheduling. I have folders with the graphics. Like, everything is, like, I'm not hunting for anything. And when I work on a project where it's not like that, in fact, I just got off a call with my client because there was some stuff I couldn't find. And it's, like, I realize when there's stuff that's not, like, in my system, it takes me three times as long. Because it's like, I just plug and play stuff. And then the writing part obviously is different. But all the little things about it, you know, just like with the tools, right? Like I use that headline analyzer, right? So that's right. always like up. It's not up on my computer, but like click, go. Like with the podcast, I have a system of like how we publish the podcast. It's like three steps, we're done. And I think the more you systematize stuff, the less time it takes you to get things done. And if you stay in a routine, it's also like you're not relearning things, right? Like that's what I hate. When you don't do something for a while and then you have to remember how you did it.
Yep.
And it happens takes to me you like three times as long.
Yeah.
So if you stay consistent on a schedule, then, you know, it's like, well, I have these templates set up. So when it comes time to write this, it's a sale ending email, right? This is the last day of the sale. It goes out, always goes out at 6 or 7 p.m. It's like three things, button, image, timer, right? All those go into the email. So it's like, okay, button, image, timer, grabbed all three, and there's a template already made. It's like drop, you know, drag and drop, and you're done. I mean, the email's written in 6 minutes. Don't tell my client. I tell her it takes her hours, but no, she knows. But you know what I'm saying? Like the more you have that in place, the easier it is to get things done quickly.
Here's what I always tell everyone. It's going to start out painful, but it gets easier. So I actually advise that people don't put too much on their plate in the beginning. And then once you get what you do have on your plate down, then you can start adding stuff on and it doesn't even feel like a lot more work. I remember for the longest time, and I think I've told this story to you, I don't know publicly on the podcast, but in the beginning, I was very reluctant to send out an email every single week because it was extra work. I was already writing articles. I think at that time I was writing them three times a week. And then Rami was like, well, you got to do it. You got to write a custom email. And so I didn't start doing that until I had the writing on my blog down. And then when I added the email, it actually wasn't that bad. And since I've been doing it for like over 10 years, everything always seems like a lot of work until you have that system down, then you can move on.
So I think that's a really good point for people is, and I think this is where I definitely had an advantage. I think you had an advantage as well from when we got started in this business is that we didn't try to do everything at once because there wasn't everything. Like I remember when Facebook came out with pages because it used to be you had people like friend you, right? Like they couldn't even follow your page because there wasn't such a thing and you could only have 5,000 friends. So like at some point Facebook came out with pages. So you didn't have to worry about, oh, what am I going to post on Facebook? How am I going to come up with content? There wasn't Instagram. There wasn't TikTok. There wasn't, I mean, Twitter came out right before I started blogging, but people weren't like, it was like my first year of blogging. People started using Twitter like as a, I think a business tool, right? So I was fortunate in that I only could focus on the blog and email because that's all there was. Like, there wasn't anything else to focus on. So I think when you're starting out today, it's like, oh my gosh, there's like 17 things every day that I need to do. And that's just not how you're going to be successful. You've got to do one thing well and then add the next thing on and add the next thing on, which I was fortunate to that just happened naturally because then Facebook came out with Pages. Then Pinterest came out like 2 years later. Then Instagram came out. So it's like I didn't even have a choice to do that, right? It just the platforms didn't exist. And I think today it's so easy to like write a blog post and then get distracted by TikTok and then go back to the blog post and then be like, well, maybe I need a Facebook page. Maybe I need a Facebook group. Maybe I need to do this, right? And it's like it's hard to because I also think like there's advantages to all those platforms, but you can't do them all. You cannot ever be on them all well, and you definitely can't be on them all well when you're getting started.
I would agree with that. My buddies who do it well, they literally like hire one person per platform to help them handle it.
Yep. Yeah.
Which obviously when you're starting out,
people don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people don't realize that these people that you see that are like, well, also like think about this. Like let's use Shailene as an example again, right? So she has her podcast and she has Instagram, but she doesn't really do a lot of other things. Like she doesn't send great emails, right? Her emails are spotty and, you know,
I don't even know if I'm on her email list, to be honest with you.
I am, but it's like okay. You don't get an email and then you get an email and then you don't get one. And it's like there's no rhyme or reason to it, which is like, who cares? I'm not being critical of her at all. But like even these people that you like look up to are like, wow, this person's amazing. They're killing it. They're not killing it on every platform. Right. They're really good at one or two. I think Austin Bronner was talking about this once. Like people that are really, really good at one thing will become very successful. And then you add on the next thing. And then, you know, you don't need to be really, really good at more than like 2 to 3 things. Right. Usually two. And that's all.
Yep.
Whereas I think people just feel like, and it's hard because you see these people and like our friend Erica, right, who's on TikTok.
Yep.
It's hard to like look at her TikTok because she's great. I love her. It's hard to look at that and not be like, I need to do TikTok full time, right? Because she's just literally killing it. And so it's like anyone that meets her is like a lot. And it's not like she does anything on TikTok that's not doable by somebody else. It's not like she's doing like crazy editing and things like that. She's not a dancer. Like it's not this like, well, I don't have the skills to do that. Like I can make those videos. In fact, I noticed our friend Leslie Samuel changed his video. Have you seen this?
No, what happened?
He changed his kind of TikTok setup to kind of mimic her style.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but because his TikToks are so much more engaging because he's kind of changed how he films it. So I think it's hard to like see her and other people like her and think like, well, that's totally doable. Because Leslie's literally replicating what she's doing the style-wise with biology content. And it's super entertaining, right? Like I watched 3 videos this morning and I'm like totally mesmerized. So people see that and they're like, oh, I can do this. But it's like, well, but have you started over here yet? Are you finished with this? Have you got your email form set up on your site? Because maybe not. Jump over here. I mean, Leslie's already got all that stuff figured out, right? Like he's at the perfect place to move into another platform. Most people aren't when they're just getting started.
You know, it's funny. We actually have this student in our class right now who I feel is trying to do everything before even starting writing.
Okay.
You might know who I'm talking about, but and then they wanted to start selling physical products. It's just overwhelming if you're trying to do all those things all at once. So just get the bare minimum down. Just start with one thing, get good at it, and then add all that other stuff later. It's just a recipe for disaster because I know I don't work like that either. I you know me, I do one thing per year.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Maybe that's a little slow for some people, but that's the pace that I run.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about your pace. But I know I think it's a good strategy though, not necessarily like one thing per year. I mean, I don't think you can put a timeline on it per se, especially when you're just getting started, because you blogged for a long time before you did anything else.
Correct.
So I think for people who are starting out or in the beginning stages, like don't necessarily put a time, like do something until you do it well and you see traction. Right. So if you're writing and it's like 6 months and no one's coming to your site, reevaluate. Why aren't people coming? Does the content need to change? Do I stink at SEO? Are my images pixelated? Whatever it is. Right. Like evaluate. Don't be like, well, no one's coming to my blog, so now I'm going to try YouTube, right? Well, chances are if there's some fundamental issues with the blog, there's probably going to be those same fundamental issues with YouTube where usually for me, I think what it is with people is they're not like working in their like niche that they need to be. They're trying to, because we see this with people in our course all the time that are like, our friend that's she does the Chinese medicine stuff. Like her, like she's totally in her zone, right? Her stuff's good. Yep. And I don't say it's easy for her to create, but like clearly she's good at this because she's been creating and she keeps creating and she's not having a problem. And then we see other people struggling and it's like, well, you're struggling because you're trying to do something that's just not you, right? Or that's not what you're an expert in, or you're trying to be something that you're not. And I think before you just jump ship on something, you've got to really evaluate why something's not working for you.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think just people are impatient.
Yeah.
In general.
And I think we had, like, I especially had a huge advantage. I didn't have a chance to be impatient because it was like, you blog or nothing. You know, we had like Google Chat, Google Groups. What was it, Google Groups?
Yeah. Like that. I was in a number of those in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that was your, like, that was your big social. Like, let's make a Google group. So I didn't have the opportunity to not succeed at blogging because that was all that I could do. And so I had to put my 100% of my focus into that. And I think that works.
It does. I just think people just underestimate like how much time things are going to take. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, it takes a while for things to just sink in. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I'm just trying to think. I hate to bring up math in this case, but like there was this like one, whether it be math or business or whatever, like I could read something every single day for a while. But then one morning I wake up and I go, oh, I get it now. Finally, after 6 months, I finally get it. I'm pretty sure that's how a lot of people work. Like these concepts just need to be drilled into you consistently. And then one day it's just all going to click and then things will start working. It's happened to me for practically everything I've ever done.
Yeah. And it's funny because so my daughter-in-law just got a new job and it's something completely different than she's ever done before. And so we were talking last night and she said, I really love the training. They're so thorough. They're like telling, you know, she wants to be trained well, right? Because she's always been very successful everywhere she's worked. And for her, it's like, I want to know this job inside and out. And we kind of joked, it's like, when you start something new, it's like everything's overwhelming about it, right? My daughter got a job like a couple months ago at a restaurant and she like for the first 2 weeks forgot to give people their total after they ordered. Like it just wasn't like right. She would take their order. She's like, okay. And they're like, okay. And it like didn't occur to her to be like, that's $17.82. Right. And we joked, I was like, yeah, but in a couple months you'll laugh at how it wasn't ingrained in you to say that. Right. Cause now she can do it in her sleep.
Yeah.
It just takes a couple months of that like repetitive behavior, reading it over again, learning it, doing it, whatever it is that you're doing. But I think that's true with everything in life. And my daughter-in-law is like, I just want to be so good at this that we laugh at the time where I thought this was complicated. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's a really good philosophy to have because for most things are tough in the beginning because you don't have the knowledge for it. And then you do after you do it and learn.
So let's sum this up. So here's what I got from you today. Eliminate things that might be time wasters.
Yep.
So you eliminated TV. The second thing was have 7 kids so you had to be focused on one thing or die. That was
yes.
The other key takeaway.
That's actually my secret power, but yes.
It's funny though because I was put up against the wall too because my wife wanted to quit. Right. And so I, in a way, mm-hmm. we like you had to find a way to replace their income. Otherwise, we'd be living in different conditions. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that is a good like motivator.
I think having your back against the wall is a good motivator. The other thing that we didn't talk about, but I think is really important, is I also don't think you can hole up for your whole life. And like, I think the other thing that like gave me success was that I had so much like outside life experience, right? My entire day was filled with like content, right? I would never run out of content because everything that I did was like, oh, well, I can put that on the blog, or I can use this, or I can share this on social, right? So I think, and I noticed this, in fact, one of my friends a couple months ago was like, is everything okay? You haven't posted on social much. And I realized that I just had kind of like holed up, and I wasn't like really doing anything other than like focused on work. And I realized that when all I do is work, I don't have any like mind space to think of new things or be experiencing new things. And it doesn't mean that you have to like, it's not like, well, I'm cooking, so now I come up with a recipe. It's like, well, I'm cooking, so my mind is blank and I come up with an idea for profitable audience, right? It's why everyone gets their best ideas in the shower. Mm-hmm. If you don't go out and do, like, go out and sit at your kid's soccer game, or, you know, don't work at every single practice, right? Like, it's definitely ways to get stuff done, but like, I think you have to like go out and do things, you know, go see a play, go to a concert, go on a trip, whatever, go walk. Like, you and I both exercise, right? So it's like, when I'm running, I come up with a lot of ideas, right? Because I can't really think about anything else other than that and trying to breathe. So I think that's a big advantage for people, is I know it's tempting also like to hole up and like, I just want to do all this stuff and I want to get it done. But if you're not out experiencing life, I don't think you give your brain the space to come up with new and creative ideas.
Okay. I also want to end with this. Like, during COVID, I didn't go to any events. And just recently, I feel like I've gone to a bunch this year. And it's, I just forgot how transformative it is. So for example, this last event I just went to, Sell and Scale, I just happened to be sitting next to the guy who runs all of YouTube for Evan Carmichael, who's this YouTuber. He's like this influencer who has like 3 or 4 million subs. And this was during Gary Vee's talk. And I ended up talking to him. In fact, I'm about to interview him on the podcast right after this. I ended up talking to him over watching Gary Vee because I was just learning so much. Just whenever you meet someone new, there's always different ways of doing things. And I don't know. I'm just looking forward to going to more events now because it always has a profound effect. And I get a lot more guests. I make a lot more friends. It just makes my life a lot more happy. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.